So tonight I want to talk a little bit about patience, especially patience in the face of serious upheavals. And I like this definition. This is not a biblical definition, just a definition that I found. Patience is the calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than the one that you have in mind. And I know how important that is. I remember one time Kim and I were driving in the car with Mandy and Jenny, and we had decided to go out and get some dinner. The girls were complaining that they were hungry. I think it was Jenny was ready to eat the back off the seat because she was so starved. And Kim said, "Okay, we'll stop and get something to eat, but I want to go into a restaurant and sit down." And Jenny's response was, "Great, I'm starving and you want to get slow food." So I think that is a pretty good illustration of what patience is all about. I had a plaque on my office wall for a while that said, "God grant me patience and hurry." I'm not sure that those two things really ought to go together, but I do know that patience is a fruit of the Spirit, or as we've been trying to point out, is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, passage that we've read so many times, mentions patience. And I think I'm very impressed with Luke, the 18th chapter. Let me again mention, if you have something to say, just go ahead and speak up. Unmute your microphone and speak up, because I have a hard time keeping track of everybody. But Luke, the 18th chapter, I think is an indication, at least to me, that patience is what we need to allow the Spirit to do the work that the Spirit is wanting to do with us. Luke 8 at verse 15, I think I said Luke 18, but it's Luke 8 at verse 15. In the context of the parable of the seed and the soils, Jesus said the seed that was sown in the good soil, those people that are characterized as the good soil heard the word in a good and honest heart, and they hold it fast, and they bear fruit with perseverance. That's the New American Standard. Some other translations actually use the word patience there. If we're going to let the Spirit guide us, and I think Ted's discussion of Galatians has been outstanding. If our spirit allows us to be led by the Spirit of God, then we're going to have patience in order for that to happen, because that's a growth process, learning how to be led by the Spirit of God. And I know that that's hard. When I was living in Alaska, I wanted to seed my front lawn. And so I put down topsoil, something like 6 inches of topsoil all over the front lawn. And you've heard that word, that phrase, that it's as cheap as dirt. Well, I'm here to tell you, dirt is not cheap when you have to buy it. So I put down topsoil, I spread the seed, I watered it, and it seemed to me like months before I started to see any evidence that the seed was germinating. It wasn't that long. It didn't take nearly that long. But I kept watering it and hoping that the seed would grow, and then I was having nightmares that I was watering it and all of the soil and the seed started floating down the street in front of my house. And I was on my hands and knees chasing it down, trying to pull it back into my yard. I think farmers have just an innate understanding of the concept of patience. And James 5, when James talks about patience, he uses farmers as an illustration. He says they wait for the precious produce of the soil. They're patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. And then they say, and then he says, you too need to be patient, just like farmers are. And patience, it seems to me, grows best in really hard times. And yes, I did forget the D on hard. Fat-fingered that, sorry. James, the first chapter at verse 3. The testing of your faith produces endurance. In some translations, it's patience. Romans 5 at verse 3, the apostle says, we know that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character. 2 Corinthians 6 at verse 4, he says, we commend ourselves to as servants of God. He's talking, of course, about what he had been through, and he talks about commending himself as a servant of God in much endurance in afflictions and hardships and in distresses. So we're intimately familiar with what the Apostle Paul had to go through. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, passage where the writer references all of the things that the Hebrews had to deal with. The persecution, the difficulty with becoming Christians and dealing with what the Jews were saying. He says, you have need of endurance. You have to have patience. So when you've done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. And then in James 5, at verse 10, James gives us two examples of people who understood patience. The first example is the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Some of them were put to death because they spoke for God. Sometimes they had to go out and hide in caves and be fed by ravens. There were all kinds of difficulties that the prophets had to endure. And then the essence of patience, Job. He said, you've heard of the endurance of Job. We've seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and that he is merciful. So we're going to have to learn patience. And things are not going to go as we had planned. I had plans for all of the things that I was going to do, and I can't do them. And I know the kids are dealing with this. You know, they intended to go to school. They were going to move up to the next grade. Some of them were going to graduate. Abby was getting ready to graduate and start college. And think how difficult it is for all of those plans to be put on hold. And when those plans get put on hold and they don't go the way we thought they were going to go, then we become anxious about whether or not they'll ever go that way. Things will ever happen the way that we had wanted them to. When plans don't go the way that we want them to, Kim is fond of saying that it's like the grief process. Something has died. What we had planned, this beautiful wedding that Nolan and Amelia had been planning, maybe they have to put that off. And they're going to have a wedding. They're going to be married. But maybe it'll be just me and them. And so that's a difficult thing to deal with, but it's an important concept, this idea of patience, if we're going to overcome anxiety.
Dean.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, Dean.
Yeah.
This Carol. When you first started talking about this, I immediately was thinking about the apostles and Judas, how they all had preconceived ideas of what God's word meant to them, and the Holy Spirit wasn't through working with them, but they were all ready to go with what settled in their heads. So sometimes we just have to take a step back and be like the apostles, eventually be able to do what we need to do, but it wasn't what we thought, it was what God wanted us to do.
Excellent point. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. You know, when he first became a Christian, he thought, great, now God can send me back to the Jews because they'll listen to me. And God said, no, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. So we have to learn to listen to God and endure the fact. And maybe that's not the right word. We have to be patient with God and know that he's going to work out his plan, and his plan is good for us, but it may take a while.
Dean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been studying there in Matthew right now in the first 12 verses and, or excuse me, 12 chapters there. And Brother Homer Haley brought out the point about adding this kind of thing, patience and anxiety and everything along in those lines to our faith. And he says that a lot of times he says, we don't pray enough. He said, we need to pray more. And he says, and to realize so that this stuff can be added and have some patience to give the Spirit and everything time to add it to us.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think, and I remember Brother Haley coming to Alaska, preached for us for a week, and stayed in our house. And I remember him, the most godly man, one of the most godly men I've ever known, still expressed problems with patience because there were so many things that he wanted to do, but, well, his knees had given out on him, and he was having difficulty doing all of the things that he wanted to do, and he couldn't do them. He almost walked me to death, and I thought, well, I was pretty glad that his knees had given out on him. But we never get past learning more about patience, no matter how spiritual we may be. Well, let's go on a little bit. I know I need to add this to my faith. 2 Peter 1, that verse 6. In your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence, knowledge, in your knowledge, self-control, in your self-control, perseverance, in your perseverance, godliness, in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. And some translations use the word patience there. I need to add this. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy that it was something that you had to work at. He says, pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, and perseverance and gentleness. So there are some things that we run away from, and there are some things that we run toward, but we'll never stop running away from things, just like we will never stop running toward righteousness and godliness. The more we approach it, the more we understand that we have to keep working at it. Comments.
You're re-preaching my lesson from Sunday.
Well, you know, Charles made the observation that Ephesians is a lot of the stuff that we've been covering in Galatians. That's true just in general.
Yep.
You know, I think one reason that patience is something that we always have to strive for, it doesn't come naturally to us. I mean, if you think about it, a newborn baby, you know, they are not patient when they're hungry and wanting to be fed. They certainly don't demonstrate patience. So it's very innate in us that to have our desires satisfied. And when we have to put that off, or circumstances create a situation like this, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things you can deal with, but we don't know when this is going to end. We don't know when it's going, you know, this coronavirus outbreak is going to peak in the state of Oregon. We don't know how that affects us, you know, right now, and how long this is going to go on. If we're going to sort of be in our homes for another week or another 3 months, you know, we just don't know. So it's really hard because it's something that is being put off. And like you said, it's our plans have died. And so we have to grieve those plans, but we have to be willing, I think, to put ourselves and our self needs aside, you know, for other people and for God to lead us through this. And that's hard to do. It's not part of our nature. And so we always have to make it be part of our nature, try to practice that more and more so that it can become part of our nature. It's not natural for us.
Well, my mother can no longer contradict me. I was an incredibly considerate child when I was a baby.
Can contradict you.
When I woke up in the middle of the night, I always thought, no, I'm a little hungry, but I'll wait and I'll let my mom sleep until she wakes up, and then I'll let her know that I'm hungry. My children didn't learn that from me. They must have gotten this notion of immediate self-fulfillment from their mother. I'm just teasing about that. Patience defined. There's the Greek word. You can look at it. I'm not sure exactly what that helps me to know, but Strong's definition is cheerful, or he says parenthetically, hopeful endurance or constancy. It's enduring, it's patience, it's patient continuance or patient waiting. And it can't be separated from the notion of hopeful, especially when we talk about Christians. And remember, when we talk about the Christian's hope, it's not just wishful thinking. It's something that we know is going to happen. God is going to take care of us. And so that's why we can be patient. Now, to Kim's point, why is it so hard? Well, there's a sense in which it's not something that we're born with. And our culture doesn't inculcate it, or our culture doesn't teach it to us. In fact, I have a feeling that our culture teaches us not to be patient. We have fast food, and we get upset if we go in a restaurant, and it takes more than 10 minutes for our food to come to the table. We have microwaves, and we don't even want to wait more than a minute and a half for our food to get cooked. We have instant internet communication.
There's nothing in there anymore.
So many things are so fast about our culture that I think we just have a hard time learning that we have to wait. I remember, I'm old enough to remember, when most things came by snail mail. And you ordered something and you had to wait for it to come. There's some advantage to that, to knowing that you're going to get it. The fact that it didn't come today doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But it's a hard lesson to learn when so many things around us happen so quickly. Our culture, I think, tends to devalue the notion of patience. Rarely do we keep a CEO in the corporation if he has one quarter when profits don't match what we expected the quarter's profits to be. We don't think about long-term physical health. And we look for type A personalities when we're running businesses because we want the hard charger, the guy who's ready to get things done. And we, that's the people that we tend to value. And that's almost the opposite of a patient person. If you know me, you know I love college basketball, and one of my favorite coaches is Mike Krzyzewski down at Duke. And he produces incredible teams. It just seems like every year, incredible teams, incredible recruiting classes. But he didn't start out that way. In fact, the first couple of seasons that he was at Duke, they had losing seasons. And someone was wise enough to say, we have to stick with this. We have to stay the course. We can't fire him just because he had one or two losing seasons. We need to have a long-term view. So question, comments, and then we'll go on to maybe talk about some ways that we can develop patience or some things we can do to help us grow our patience, particularly in light of going through some tumultuous times right now.
Dean?
Yeah.
As I was saying to you on Sunday, we have this virus with us today, and everybody's very nervous about it and everything else with fear, anxiety, you know, no, not a lot of patience. Can you imagine how the 12 disciples felt when Jesus just sent them out there to do their job? That I'm sure that they had some of these same fears and anxieties and everything else just going out on their own.
It's a very good point. And they had to learn how to do that. It wasn't something that they knew. It was something that they learned. I don't think that we ought to ever wish for hard times. But when the hard times do come, I think we ought to look for the opportunities that we can find in those hard times. When I was much younger, I kind of got that upside down, and I said, you know, maybe it would be a good thing if the Christians were persecuted today the way that they were in the first century. Well, that wasn't very well thought out. You never pray for difficult times. You pray that you profit when the difficult times come. So how do we do this? How do we grow in patience? I think the first thing that we need to realize is that we have to abide in Christ and let Christ abide in us, because without him, we can't do anything. That's John 15 at verse 5. He starts out, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so I think about how Jesus in his life demonstrated patience. He had to be patient with the apostles. He said on a number of occasions, how long have I been with you for so long and you just haven't learned what you should have learned? And he was patient with those that were in opposition. Now, there were times when he eventually got to the point that he responded, but he was so very patient. So I have to learn to be like Jesus. I have to let him live in me and be what he would have been in the face of the same difficulties that I'm facing. And I have to grow in love. 1 Corinthians 13 at verse 4, love is patient. I think what love does is it prevents us from being self-centered and demanding that our plan be filled without delay. The first thing you learn when you get married is that both of the people in the marriage have a plan. And your plan is many times going to have to wait because you can't fill everybody's plan at the same time. Marriage is a good way to learn about being patient. And someone has already mentioned that we need to pray. That goes without saying. In Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul says that he had been praying that the Colossians would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience. It's something that we learn because of our relationship with God. And when we pray to him, it's a recognition that God is in control. I'm not the one that's in control. Now, God may help me work out my plan, but I have to understand that I need God to be in control. And I think it's important that we embrace the delay in our plans. We're stuck at home. We're self-quarantined, if that's the right word. We're self-isolated. We're staying at home. And a lot of people are taking advantage of that, and they're cleaning out their closets. Or they're doing some things that they'd always wanted to do. They're organizing all of the pictures that they have, and they're putting them into the order that they wanted to put them in. So embrace the delay. It may be that you've always wanted to just sit down and read the Bible cover to cover, but you've never had the time to devote to doing all of that because you had to get up and you had to go to work and you had to do all of these other things. Well, we don't have to do that now. So embrace the delay. Find a way to use it to strengthen your relationship with God. I think more and more of us are making time for family devotions. And maybe that's something that we'll learn out of this, how important it is to actually carve out time to have family devotions. Maybe we'll learn how important it is for the family to eat lunch together or the family to eat dinner together. Whatever it is, find a way to embrace the delay and use it to improve our relationship with God. And that teaches patience. And then Psalms 27 at verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. All in God's good time. And yes, I'm growing tired of not being able to get out. I struggle with patience, perhaps more than most, because I want things to happen today. And I'm afraid if they don't happen today, they won't happen. If I don't make it happen today, it's kind of the philosophy behind sales. People buy things because they're on sale, and the fear is that the sale will be over before they get a chance to buy it. And you know, most of the time, if it's a good deal, it's a good deal anyway. So those are my thoughts. I'm sure that you guys have things you can add and improve on that.
I think one of the hardest times to exhibit patience is when it looks like the answer is going to be no. When it looks like all of your prayer and all of your endurance and all of your begging for something to happen doesn't match what your hope is. And so finding the patience to continue to endure. And so sometimes the prayer is patience to endure this trial because the outcome isn't going to be what you hope.
Right.
You know, I mean, excuse me, up until the governor announced that we were not going back to school, people kept asking me, Mandy, do you think we're going to go back to school? And I said, well, we have to wait and see, but I'm not going to give up hope. Meanwhile, my brain is going, there's no way. There's no way. But I'm telling my seniors, yeah, guys, you're going to have to give up on all of these things, knowing that the answer is no, but you still have to be patient and wait and manage to maintain some semblance of positivity in your day. And that's really, really hard.
Yeah, it is. It's very hard.
I agree with her. I think Sherry and I both very much agree with her. You know, you're waiting to retire and you're waiting for that yes answer and it's time to go and God's providing for us all the way through this, but yet we're still waiting for that first or that one buyer to call and say, you know, I want to buy the house so we can move on to our next thing. And the hardest thing for us right now is we're having to deal with that patience. And Dean, I think if you have the first spot of being impatient, I think I'm in second spot, because I think Sherry will tell you I've got to be one of the worst patient people around. And so for me right now, knowing that we've done everything that we thought we should have done, and preparing for the move and our prayers, and then not having it, that waiting for that answer when you no, it's going to be no, you know, it's going to be no for how much longer because of the virus for us. So we're waiting for that. But, you know, I, in my prayers, sometimes the patience that I have in my prayers, Sherry told me maybe some of the problem is because I say, well, God, I'm putting it in your hand, but you know what, now's the time, you know, so how much am I putting in his hand when I'm saying now's the time? So patience is a crazy thing.
God, I'm going to give it to you, but you got to agree with me.
Right.
I still get the but. I still get the power.
I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to hang on to that one little tiny bit so that, you know, I'm really not giving it to you all. Yeah. And one of our other struggles that we're having is we have a for sale sign down at the end of our road. We have two empty rooms, trying to rent out those rooms so that we can continue to pay our staff and can continue to eat and all of those things, particularly to take care of our staff, is a real struggle. And when you have someone who comes in, do you leave the for sale sign up there, or do you take it down until they come in and then you put it back up, you know? We're going to just be straight with them. But the thought crosses your mind, you know? But all along, we're like, God's going to take care of us. He's going to get us through this. And is this his plan for all of our people to kind of just dwindle down, and then all of a sudden we'll have a buyer and woohoo, nobody has to find a new home because there won't be anybody left. Yeah. I don't know.
Yes. Or your Evan, who just walked over here and insisted that I pull the splinter out of his hand right this minute. There was no waiting. There is no patience. It has to happen now.
So we're told that we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. So it's just difficult. Prayer and supplication. Even the fifth seal, when it was opened, the souls under the altar were saying, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood on your... And they were given a white robe. So even in heaven, or wherever that was, where this was being addressed, patience was necessary. It will happen according to God's providence, God's scheme of things.
And I don't, when I say we need patience, that's not to devalue in any way the fears that we have. The fears are real. It's just patience is the way that we deal with the fears, I think. We have to accept that they're real, and we're not demeaning the feeling of fear. But we have to learn patience.
I once had somebody tell me that they quit praying for patience because God kept giving them more and more tribulation. So sometimes I think we need to pray that I need to be listening to you, God, and walking in your steps and not in my own.
Yeah, that's that abiding in Jesus. My dad used to, in every prayer, my dad used to say, Lord, help me want to do the things that you want me to do. Any other thoughts?
More credit to the newcomers for their patience.
Yes.
That would have to be difficult.
Credit to the rest
of... Not to get too personal there.
Yeah, credit to the rest of the church. We had plans that they were going to be gone, and they have stuck around. So we have patiently endured.
No kidding. And we're trying to make it as interesting as possible.
You know I'm teasing.
I do know you're teasing, yes. It's going to be a hard thing to leave our church family here. But, you know, we're ready for the next chapter and another challenge. And you know, it'll all be good. Because we have faith that it will be good. And faith that God will take care of us no matter where we're at.
Well, we want to keep you here. We'll let Ron go, but we want to keep you here.
Oh.
Okay, I'm not sure how that'll work, but okay.
Who's got the U-Haul truck? I'll leave tomorrow.
Okay.
Thanks, Dean. Thanks a lot. He's the dishwasher here, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks.
You know, all of the. I'm so glad that we have the scriptures and the guidance that gives us, and abiding in the Lord, and that's great. It's just harder, you know, easier said than done, I guess. And it's something that we constantly have. I know I do. I constantly have to work on it. And I heard Sherry made a comment about, you know, giving it to the Lord, but then hanging on to this little piece, this little tiny piece of it, because it's really hard to let that control go. I heard somebody say one time that I really liked, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but, you know, it's really hard when you pray to God to not pray to him in an advisory capacity. You know, God, I'm going to advise you on what you're going to do here. That's hard. It's hard because we want it to be our way.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to turn the recording off. That doesn't mean that we necessarily have to stop.